Give us grace, give us ears to hear, release expectation and hunger in this room, and anoint Sister Yolanda. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord. I'm going to ask, it's pretty warm in here.
Let's do it.
Yes, it is.
And we're going to turn those lights on so the fans will work. Would that be good?
It's fluorescent lights.
And I apologize that it's warm in here. Praise the Lord. It's good to see so many out tonight. This burnout has really been a blessing to me in many ways. God has encouraged my heart through the teachings and the messages and the singing and the worship and the praise and just the bonding together, you know, with the fellowships that we've had. And it's just been really wonderful. I thank God for it. Very encouraging. It fuels you to press even further. I don't know if the others who have been here feel that way, but you're encouraged to press forward. And I thank God, and we thank God for you, Tyler. Tonight, as he said, we're going to talk about prayer-fueled evangelism. This is a subject that is very deep in my heart because people need the Lord. Amen. Will you agree? People need to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Not just know Him mentally, but to have an experience with Him. And that's where evangelism comes in. And it has to be evangelism that is fueled by prayer. When you look at the condition of our world, you can't even, you know, I know we have many Christians in here, probably most of us in here are Christians, but even though we're Christians, we cannot go out and share the love of God without being empowered by Him. If you remember how it happened, the New Testament church, they were waiting. You remember they were waiting? The Lord told them to wait, and the Spirit of God came, and they were empowered. And we see the birth of the church, and then we see how they begin to go out. When you read the book of Acts, you see evangelism taking place, don't you? And I'm going to encourage you. I was reading scriptures, and I don't want to, you know, read too many scriptures, but I want to encourage you to read some scriptures. Go to Acts and read Acts to get a picture of how the early church went out. But one key thing that I notice is that they were empowered and they went. And they went with the power of God. There had been prayer, that there had been waiting. They were on one accord and they began to go and do the work of ministry. Now, when you look at the life of Christ, you see that His ministry was that way. When He came into the world, you know, there was a time of waiting. There was a time of being baptized. There was a time where He went and He had to be tempted by the enemy. We see Him being empowered. We see Him praying often. Jesus praying often. So how much more must we pray? Amen. He prayed. He was getting ready, and He called unto Himself His disciples. What are the disciples? Those who follow Christ. He called them, and He began to teach them. And I'm bringing all of this up because this is a picture of what we have to be. We have the example of Jesus, how He went out. He fed those who were hungry. He cast out demons. He preached the gospel, and He did the work of ministry. And while He was doing that, He also had His disciples, and of course the appointed 12, but there were other disciples that followed Him. And He began to teach them because He knew that His journey on earth was going to be a short one. He came focused. He came with purpose. He came ready to do the Master's will. And that's why it really took prayer, because He had to stay focused. Even though He came from heaven, He was still human. So He had to experience what He experienced so that we could see it's doable. Do you believe that evangelism is doable? and that we can be empowered to do what the Lord has done. The Bible tells us that we will do even greater works. And as I was reading through the book of Acts, I saw the greater works. I saw them doing as, you know, as Jesus did. I saw Peter, and we know what it says, Peter, how he stood up a few times under the anointing of the Holy Spirit and preaching the gospel. How many came, and later as you read in the book of Acts, not only did were there people that came, you know, just the average, the normal people that came, but eventually even some of the high order or the leaders of the church, if you will, leaders in the Jewish body, they came, they were transformed. So we see a work being done. Peter preaching the gospel. We see Philip preaching. We see Stephen. We know that Stephen was, because of what he was preaching, the leaders, the chief priests, the sect of the Sadducees, or a sect of the Sadducees, they didn't like what he was saying. So they stoned him. And with the power that he had been empowered with, he even said as he was dying, as he looked and he saw the heavens open, he said, "Lord, don't lay this to their charge." Can you imagine? Under persecution, the church evangelized. And not only did they evangelize, but they discipled. They appointed leaders. Churches begin to be established. We see after a while how Paul comes on the scene, how he is converted on the road to Damascus. He comes on the scene. Of course, he has a hard time because he was right there when Stephen was martyred, and they don't know if he's really about what he says he is, so he had to prove himself. But the Lord used him mightily to establish churches, to preach the gospel. The Bible tells us how he even went into the synagogues, into the temple, and he began to preach. And people's lives were changed. And just saying all this to say, we are the church, you are the church, I am the church, and greater things must we do. We can't be afraid to share the good news of Christ. We might feel intimidated. That's all the work of the enemy to keep us from doing it. But we have to be bold. It has to be prayer-fueled, because can we do it on our own? No, we cannot do it on our own. We need the grace and we need the power of God, and we need to be empowered by the Holy Spirit to do the work of evangelism. I want to share a few scriptures. If you want to take notes, I'll just mention some of the scriptures that I have. I won't read them all, but I'm going. Let me just give the scriptures. Matthew 9, 36 through 38, Isaiah 61, 1 through 3, Matthew 28, 16 through 20, Mark 16, 15 through 19, and I'm even going to Ephesians 4, 11 through 13, and I don't know if I'm going to get to all of these, and there's more scriptures, but we'll just flow as the Spirit would have us flow. What is evangelism? Well, evangelism means proclaiming the word. We all know that. I know we do. We've heard that over and over again. It's the proclamation of the good news. What is the good news? Does somebody have a Bible? Raise up your Bible. That Bible, that entire Bible, is the good news of Jesus Christ. Do you agree? It's not just the New Testament. It's not just John that talks about, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." It's not just those points. The whole word of God is the gospel. And evangelism is about proclaiming the good news. Everything in the word of God, from Genesis to Revelation, is the good news. Is there anything you read that wasn't good news? Even the wars that took place in the Old Testament, it's good news because it points us to something. It gives us understanding of something that helps equip us and ready us for the power of God, for the work of ministry. So evangelism is proclamation. I'm just going to read something that I read early, and I wanted to just read it to you. But I just wanted to also give you just that simple understanding that the word of that evangelism is a proclamation. Even it talks about it, it's good tidings. It's good tidings of God. It's the word of God. Here it says, evangelism is the announcement or the proclamation and or preaching of the gospel. It's the good news of and about Jesus. So when we learn about Jesus, it's not just Jesus, but it's everything about Jesus, what he did, how he lived, what he taught us, what he left for us, his examples, how he trained his disciples, the things that he said, the everything that he did, everything that he was about, that is the good news. Therefore, the gospel is a communicated message. Not only is it a verbal message, but it's also a written message. You held up the Bible, that's the written gospel. The word evangelism comes from the Greek word, and I'm not going to do well at this, euangelion. Most literally translated in the noun form, it means gospel or good news. In the verb form, the meaning of the word changes slightly to announce the bringing of good news or bring good news. The Greek word in its various forms appears 55 times in the New Testament. In addition to the before mentioned translations, the Greek word is also translated to preach. So it's the preaching of the word of God. Evangelism, the communication, and this is something I really wanted to bring out. It's the communication of the gospel message. It includes a warning, an explanation, and a call. Evangelism includes warning people about sin and the consequences of sin. It includes explanation of God's remedy for sin. So when we talk about evangelism, we're talking about every part of it. And I know you don't go and witnessing to somebody and start pointing out their sins and saying you're going to hell. God gives us approaches to various people. Sometimes it's just to say Jesus loves you. And sometimes it is to go deeper. Sometimes you may have somebody or meet someone and they're just condemning the things of God. There's an approach for that. Sometimes you may meet someone who has been in church and says, I don't believe that stuff anymore. There's an approach for that. But just saying all this to say what I just read to you is it's everything in the word encompasses that good news. Now, as we talk about the importance of prayer and evangelism, and actually really before I go into that, I want to just communicate to us the importance of evangelism. Sometimes, you know, we think, oh, I'm not called to talk to people about the Lord. I'm not called to witness. That's not my calling. My calling is praise and worship. My calling is instrumental music. My calling is, you know, whatever you might say your calling is. But the Bible tells us that we all, his people, and I believe Paul said it. I'm not sure where it is. I think it's in Corinthians. But that we have been given the ministry, the church, has been given the ministry of reconciliation. Jesus was in the world doing it. Now that ministry has been passed to us. You look at the things that he taught his disciples, it was passed on to them. They went, they shared the good news, many came, so it just continues. It continues. As you come to know the Lord, you now have the ministry. You don't have to be, quote, called. We all are called because we have accepted Christ. All of us who have accepted Christ are called to the ministry of reconciliation. Okay? So he's not saying, I command you to go out there next month and win 100 people to the Lord. He's not saying that. We are now examples, now that we have come to Christ. We are examples I believe it, one of the disciples says, we are living epistles. We are living epistles. Our lives are examples. And then we have to share the good news of what God has done, because we understand that this life is temporary. Amen? And we know that everyone that is born on this earth will spend eternity somewhere. Do we all agree with that? There's one of two places. It's either hell or heaven. Now, people don't preach that anymore. And I hope I don't get stoned by saying that. People will spend eternity somewhere. So we have to do the work of ministry to share the good news of Jesus Christ so that people will come to the Lord. How much do you love your neighbor? Do you love the person sitting next to you? Even your neighbor in your community where you live. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Look at the price that was paid for each of us. His only begotten son came to suffer for us. He died on the cross instead of us. Look at it like that. He died instead of us so that we could have a right to the tree of life, so that we could have eternal life. So the ministry of evangelism is for all believers. Now, the importance of prayer and evangelism. The Bible says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, right? It's not people. It's not the flesh we're dealing with. And when we start saying we're going to witness, you will know you're going to meet up with the enemy. So evangelism has to be prayer fueled. It has to be undergirded by prayer. Our lives have got to be lives that are lives dedicated and committed to prayer. We can't just live anyhow and say, oh, I'm going to witness to somebody today. Well, Satan will meet you and beat you up, won't he, if you are not prayed up? How about the story of the sons of Sceva? Where they, well, that might be another issue, but anyway, that's just a picture of the enemy, of what he can do. But greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Let me just read some points here about the importance of prayer and evangelism. Prayer is essential in the Christian's life. It's got to be something we do on a daily basis. We don't pray once a week, do we? We don't pray once a month. We pray daily. It says, without prayer, our witness is far less effective, and we become far more vulnerable, like the sons of Sceva, to the enemy. It's like we begin to run. When we see manifestations of demons, we begin to run. But guess what? God gave us power over those demons. When people have bad attitudes, when we go to talk to people, they have bad attitudes. They don't want to hear the gospel. Or it might be someone that might, you know, I don't want to, you know, sound like it's just always bad. It's most of the experience I've had have been good. But I'm just giving you real life situations where if we're not prepared, we will not be as effective as we should be. When we witness, we are planting seeds of the gospel. Do you realize that? I think it was Paul that said in Corinthians, one plants, you might be the one that plants the gospel. Another one will come along and water what you have planted. But who is the one who gives the increase? God is the one who gives the increase. We have been called to go, but we can't worry about if that person doesn't accept Christ. Our goal is to get them to that point, but if they choose not to go there, we have done what God has asked us to do. Is that correct? We have planted those seeds, and we have planted those seeds in love. And it says that in prayer we ask God to give the growth of the increase. So when we're witnessing, we want to pray before we go, and we want to pray while we're there, even in our spirit, to that God will give the increase to the harvest. In prayer, we ask God to convict the unrepentant heart and awaken them to the need for salvation. Jesus prayed often. We see that those examples in his word. Paul prayed. Stephen prayed. We pray because our battle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against powers and spiritual forces of darkness in the spiritual realm. Prayer is one of God's ordained means for us to warfare, and the sharing of the gospel is a spiritual warfare. We can actually influence God with our prayers. Do you believe you can influence God with your prayers? Yes, we can influence God with our prayers. Look at Hezekiah's life. He was sick that he was going to die. But what did he do? Yes, and God extended his life. 15 years, amen. And we see other, cases where you know, God moved. And the prayers of his people, he was influenced and he moved on their behalf. It happens all the time. We're influencing God all the time with our prayers. That's why he asks us to pray. Prayer is a vital part of witnessing, so we must pray. We need to pray so that we would be consistent in our effectiveness. Pray that we should also pray for not just one person, but to pray that there would even be more people to share the good news with. Pray that God send workers into his vineyard. Now, this scripture, Matthew 9:36, it says, but when he saw the multitudes, and this is when, you know, of course, Jesus was teaching and the multitudes of people were following him. When he saw them, the scripture says he had compassion. And that word compassion sticks out to me because unless we have compassion, we wouldn't do it. So that's another area of prayer, that God give us the compassion to do it, the care for the people, the love for the people. See them as a people that are going in the wrong direction, and we want their direction to change, just like we wanted ours to change. He was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and they were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd, no one to direct them. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. Who is the Lord of the harvest? God is the Lord of the harvest. Pray to the God of the harvest that he will do what? That he will send laborers, you and me, into the harvest. Because these people need to be saved. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. So we want to pray that God will send workers. Pray for boldness. We want to pray that God will bind Satan, and that's pretty much already said. But then I also want to share a few points about hindrances to prayer. It is so important that we move in prayer and we be submitted and surrendered to the Lord. Look at the hindrances to prayer. It says sin will hinder our prayers. And we don't have to go into these scriptures. I'll just give them to you. Psalm 66:18 and Acts 17:30. And we know that if we regard iniquity in our hearts, the Lord will not hear. I want God to hear me all the time, don't you? Amen. So it's even good to stay in an attitude of repentance. Selfishness will hinder our prayers. It's not all about me. It's not all about you. It's not all about I've got to win 50 souls so, you know, I can, you know, get the award for winning the most souls. You know, it's not all about us. It's all about the kingdom of God and God's work. Doubt hinders prayers. James 1:6, Mark 9:24, Romans 12:3. And our pride can hinder our prayers. Luke 18:14, James 4:6. And it even goes into talking about our relationships, a bad relationship of a husband and a wife, and the scripture talks about that hindering our prayers. Unforgiveness will hinder our prayers. 1 Peter 3:7, Matthew 5:23-24. Now, why should we evangelize? I want to talk about that a little bit. Well, we've already read the scripture that says the Lord said that we should do it. So I would say that's the number one reason. He commanded us to do it. Jesus commanded us to go and make disciples of all men. So this is what we ought to do. And we should do it out of our love, love for those who are lost. And we know that people need the Lord. So because we have that compassion, we know they need the Lord, we want to do it. We realize that people are dying every day without being in a right relationship with the Lord. And it also talks about that it's a wise thing to do. In Proverbs 11:30, it says, "He who wins souls is wise." So it's wise to tell people the good news about Christ. And we also want to do it because when we share his good news, it brings glory to God. And it transforms people's lives. And we can go on and on with why we should do it. It's the right thing to do. It's something that we have been commanded to do because we are commanded to do as Christ has asked us to do. Now, where should we evangelize? Should we form a group at church and go into the community? Well, we could do that. Sometimes people limit themselves to doing it that way. But do you also know where you live? There are people, unless you live way out in the desert somewhere and there's nobody, but there is somebody somewhere near you. But in your community, in your neighborhood, there are people, right? So in your community, your next door neighbor, have you gotten to know your next door neighbor? Do you know if they're a Christian or not? That's a place to start. Our workplaces is a very good place to start. You know, you're working with people that not everybody professes Christ. Not everybody wants to know Christ. Not everybody sees a reason to know Christ. That's a good place. Our marketplaces, when you go to Aldi or Walmart or Publix, that's a good place. You're talking to people. My kids say, "I'm always talking to people. Come on, let's go." You're standing there in the line, and what a good opportunity. You're standing, "Oh, hi, how you doing?" Oh, because I'll do sometimes, if I see, like, you know, maybe somebody's shopping and they've got a lot of stuff, like they're going to make something, I'll start up a conversation. "Oh, you're going to make a cake?" "No, and you know what I'm saying?" So the Lord presents opportunities for us to talk to people. And I know it's not always a good idea to just bring up Christ right then, but it's always a good idea to be nice to people. And you don't know what being nice to somebody will mean to them. Everybody is in such a hurry until we hardly say, "Hello, how are you doing? How is your day going?" That's a witness, because it hardly happens like it used to in the olden days, as they say. Nobody speaks, nobody cares, everybody is doing their own thing. So anywhere people are is where we should be evangelizing. The workplace, the marketplace, our community, our neighborhoods, even our schools. Now, how should we evangelize? I'm going to let somebody answer that. I'm doing all the talking. This is a teaching. How should we evangelize? Would somebody want to answer that?
The way we want to be evangelized too.
Okay. How would you want to be evangelized too?
Okay.
Okay. Faith walks and stuff.
Faith walks.
Even when we're, like you're talking about shopping and stuff today, we're not shopping. And everybody that we saw, we tell them to be blessed, you know, and the kind of thing. So, and then sometimes, like, we actually will get deeper. It depends on, like you said,
yes.
The environment or what's going
yes.
on.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So it was like glory, glory
kind of thing going on. So. Yeah. While you're on what's that where you can walk? What is that called? The Greenway. Yeah. Even walking on there, you can meet people. And we actually went out there. Something was going on, and we went out there, and we had the opportunity to witness to people and pray for people. It's a good opportunity. So wherever people are, I think it just takes a heart that loves people. You already know the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't have to feel like you've got to know all these scriptures. Have a working knowledge of what the scripture says. You know, I'm going to, you know, give out some handouts that talks about, you know, some basic scriptures, basic understanding of some scriptures. Share your testimony. It's you know, it's so many ways to witness that you don't have to allow that word evangelism or witnessing to cause you to be intimidated. Just know that it's something that the Lord would have us to do. Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, especially if you're in a line at the store, start evangelizing the clerk.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, sometimes it takes us being sensitive to the Lord to develop a friendship.
Yes.
Friendships do not come easy.
Yes.
So if you can be a listener, mm-hmm. and then when they say, what do you think about that? What would you do about that?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
Oh, can you pray for me?
Yeah.
So evangelism is just not on a Tuesday night, go out.
Right. Exactly.
Door knocking. Mm-hmm. Evangelism takes time, it takes commitment, and it has to be intentional. It has to be intentional. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that intentional thing costs you some of your time.
Right. Right. I like what she said about, you know, you develop relationships. Like even in your neighborhood, you know, one thing that I have started to do and just speak to people, you know, you just, how are you? Good morning. And some people are shocked that you're saying good morning because people don't say good morning. You know, they don't do it. They're going, like I said, people go about their business, and that gives a segue, so to speak, to other things. You can start asking about their children, asking, you know, and that's a good place, I think, to develop relationships with people who are right around you. Maybe start with the person on your left-hand side, you know, that's in that apartment. And just we have to pray. Remember, it's prayer-fueled evangelism. Lord, order my steps. Lord, direct me. How should I, you know, talk to this person? And you see, being in your neighborhood, you see all kinds of things. You see the wild people. You see the crazy people. You see the people that attend church. You see people that don't. You see all kinds of things. And the Lord will give you approaches to different people based on who they are or, you know. And God will also cause you to sometimes wait on certain people. Maybe it's just a time to pray. And this is something that the Lord directed me to do with my neighborhood. When I moved there, I began to pray for the neighborhood. That's a way to start. Pray for the people in your neighborhood. Ask God for opportunities. He will give opportunities. And you know, if you can love on people are going through so much these days. Just love on people. Love on their children. Let them come in and get some bubble gum. You know, make ices for them or buy popsicles or just the Lord will give you little ways to be a blessing, and people will see from that you care. And guess what that will do? That will open up, cause them to be more open. But when you go and like, do you know Jesus? You need to be saved. I saw you with a cigarette. I saw this guy spending the night at your house. I mean, you know, I'm just saying, I'm just bringing up things that a lot of people do. Now, you think that sounds crazy, but I've heard stuff like that in my workplace. These are Christians now, getting into people's business like they shouldn't get into. But I think the main thing is loving on people. Our pastor talks about that. Love people to the cross. You know, don't get in their business. Don't worry about what they're doing. Remember, we are the ones that are planting the seed. Somebody else will come along and water that seed. But God is the one who will give the increase. So that's how we have to look at and ask God for wisdom and the proper approaches. Let's see. Now, another thing that comes to mind that we see when we look at the early church, how they operated, and this is something I think that is real good for us to understand. We are not just in the business of proclaiming the gospel. I mean, even though everything is the gospel, but what I mean in this context is we are not just telling people that the Lord came, he died for you to save you. When we tell them these truths about what Christ did on the cross, how he came, how he died, how he suffered, and how he did it for them, and he has salvation for them, and when we tell them all of these things, when they come to accept the Lord, it can't stop there. They need to be discipled. And a lot of times, that's where the church loses a lot of people. Because they don't get mature all at, you know, a week, a month, even a year. Look at yourself. Look at the things you still struggle with. After 10 years, maybe 15 years, or whatever, people have to be discipled. So they've got to be trained in the Word of God. They've got to be trained to maturity. Look at, let's go to, I think it's Ephesians 4. Look at, it talks about the fivefold ministry. And he gave some apostles. He gave prophets. He also gave evangelists, pastors, and teachers. For what? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. What is that talking about? Bringing people to maturity. Understanding what is required of me as a people have to learn obedience. The scripture tells us that Christ learned obedience, didn't he? Through the things that he suffered. We have to teach people what the Word of God says about certain things, about the life that they should live. And so we can't just preach the gospel, find out how do we evangelize? And we know when evangelists comes to our churches, and we know the evangelists, they travel around and they preach the gospel and then they're gone. But what should we do as a church? And when I was back home in Florida where I was raised, we had revivals all the time. People get saved, especially young people would get saved, come to the Lord. That evangelist would come and preach, and we're there for a week or two, he's gone. But then what we would not do is we would not put these new converts through any training. We just told them, oh, now you should come to church. They would come to church and be bored. They would come to church and it's just, but they needed more. So the Bible says, go and make disciples. So when you think of making disciples, and anyone can answer this, how do we make disciples? What do we do to make disciples?
Mm-hmm. So they don't know what to do, and many times you have to say, do this and don't do this.
Right.
Yes, you tell them the Word of God, you read the Word of God to them, but you have to say, you don't do this.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Because what you do with your life is honor the Lord.
Right.
And you do this because this honors the Lord.
Right.
And then are living a life that is called a holy life.
Right. So that's what we have to do. We have to train them. What is the scripture that says, as newborn babes desire? And it's talking about new Christians. It was referring to new believers. As newborn babes desire the milk. That's what we give babies, right, Sister Renee? Milk. We don't cut up a steak and give it to them. But we give milk to that baby. We nourish that baby with what that baby can take at that time. And as that baby grows, then we put that cereal in the milk. We start, you know, adding other things. And then next thing you know, they've moved on to table food. And as they get older, they can take some of the harder things. That's the way it is. We have to train people. So we can't forget about them, and that's where we lose a lot of people. And then getting them in a church where they can be taught. And maybe sometimes, you know, we have to, you know, take on that responsibility. Sister Renee talked about time. It's giving up time. You're talking about going and sharing the good news with people. But you can share. They can come to the Lord. You don't get any contact information. You not their phone number, nothing. They left there. They don't know what to do. It's just like thinking in terms of like she was illustrating with the baby. You had that baby. You leave that baby there in a room, and you go your way. What can that baby do? Nothing. It will end up dying because there's no nourishment. So we have to think about, when we think about evangelism, you can't do evangelism without discipleship. I mean, you can do it, but it's not effective. Because we want people to not only come to the Lord, but mature in Christ. I had a lot, but I don't want to go into all of that. Let me just read some scriptures related to what I just talked about. When we talk about discipling people, training people on how to follow Christ. That is really is what Jesus did with his disciples. And in Luke 14:26, it says, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren, sister, yea, and his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Now, you have to interpret that the right way, but it's basically you're teaching people that they have to surrender their lives to the Lord. It's basically what you're telling them. Not that you hate, literally, your parents and go on, but it's like God, you have to teach people that God has got to be the first in your life. He has got to be number one. And basically, we're maturing people to that point where they totally surrender all. Nothing will take the place. We've been talking about idols, that there will be no idols, anything that will take the place of the Lord. Now, I'm going to close in this area. We are in a serious hour. And I wanted to bring, you know, this is kind of on a more serious, all of anything dealing with God is serious, but I consider this to be on a more serious note. We are in a serious hour, so when we talk in terms about prayer-fueled evangelism, we need to pray now as we have never prayed before. Aren't you seeing some crazy things go on in the world that it's like, Lord, help us. Lord, help my children. Lord, help me. Lord, we need you. How do we do this? How do we pray, God, even? How do we pray for our children? How do we pray for our grandchildren? How do I pray for myself? How do we pray for the nations? Isaiah 60:2-4 says, for behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about, and see all they gather themselves. See all they gather themselves together. They come to thee, thy sons shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nourished at thy side. The scripture talks about gross darkness covering the earth. I believe we're in that time where there is gross darkness. And if there is gross darkness, and we're spiritually speaking, there's gross darkness. The demons are doing things that, well, I don't know. That, I don't know what they've done in the past so much. But we see the demons of Satan really at work to kill, to steal, to destroy our lives, our families' lives, to pervert our thoughts, our way of living, to cause us to believe there is no God. He doesn't care. We're finding more and more religions coming that talk about that Jesus, he was just a prophet. He was not the Son of God. And there's a twist on the gospel. We're seeing all kinds of things. And in order to gird up ourselves, in order to be ready, to be prepared to even go out there with the power that we need to go out there, with the anointing that we need to be effective, to stand against the wiles of the enemy, we need prayer-fueled evangelism. We need our lives surrendered to the Holy Ghost. We need to be in right relationship with God. We need our attitudes to be adjusted to the point of being humble. Lord, I can't do this. You have to do it. Order my steps. We need to fast and pray. The demons can't come out unless we fast and pray. People can't be released from the bondages that they're in unless we fast and pray. The Bible tells us in Matthew 5, he said, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor," and another version says, I think King James says savor, another one says saltiness, "if you lose that," or if you don't have what it takes, "how shall it be seasoned? How can the earth have what it needs?" God put the church here. We see the start of it in Acts. And they were filled with the saltiness, the power, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. That Bible says they had all things common. They were unified. They prayed. The Bible said they went from house to house breaking bread. They said they continued in the apostles' doctrine. That was the word of God they had. They continued daily in it. So if they had to do it, how much more do we, the children of God, have to do that? Not only are we the salt of the earth, and it says, it is, if we don't have this, it is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and to trampled underfoot. We can't be used if we don't have it. But we will be used, amen? Because we know that we are the salt of the earth. Amen. He also says that we are the light of the world. So if we are the light of the world, the gross darkness that is in the world, it really, if it was just one person that was full of light, that would be enough to illuminate a whole lot. Would you not agree? So think about all of us, because I'm just thinking about a light bulb in darkness. That one light bulb does a lot. But think in terms of having all these light bulbs, all of these individual representations of God, the light. If we are the light of the world, then we are a city that cannot be hid. Amen? People will see us and they will, "Whoa, oh, look at those people. They look at God using them. Look at, I want to be a part of it. They love one another. I see miracles being done." That's what they said of the New Testament church. Miracles were being done. People were being healed. Demons were being cast. Hallelujah. Demons were being cast out. Lame, the lame begin to walk. things were happening when they moved. They moved. And look at how it happens. It's unity. It's prayer. It's being filled with the Spirit. There were times when they would just be talking at the house church. And what would happen? The power of God would fall. We see that on different instances in the New Testament church, in the book of Acts. But let me go on. I just feel the presence of God. So we are salt. We are light. And now I want to talk about what the world looks like, and I need your help. Can I get about 7 people to stand up here? Don't be afraid. I don't bite. I think I'm going to do it differently. I'm not going to do the tape. I'm going to just let them hold it. Because I was going to tape it. So if everyone can stand up here in a straight line. It might be about how many people? I've got 5. Can I have 3 more people? You want to come up? It's not you. She doesn't want this, but it's not a representation of you as the individual. We are just showing what is in our world today. And the list is very longer than this. So don't feel like, you know, I'm saying you're this person. Do we have, we still need more people. I know that's not you. Hold it in front.
I'll take photos.
What are you?
I want everyone to hold this stuff. So everybody, I'm showing this. Now, if you feel like I'm talking about you, just say, sit down and rebuke you. It's not you. I'm making a point. This spirit is not going to get on you, okay? Tyler said, this is what our world looks like.
Let him say it.
Okay, let him say it.
Listen to me. When we confess our sins, we have to be honest before the Lord. I'm not saying that that's what he is, but it gives the example. Like she said, you have to be humble. I am a pastor who is addicted to porn. Mm-hmm. Or I'm a pastor who is addicted to gossiping. Or I am a pastor who is addicted to staying up late at night watching television. Or I'm a pastor who is addicted to throwing my money away in gambling, buying lottery tickets. Mm-hmm. Or I'm a pastor who's addicted to looking at girls wherever I go. I mean, we have to be open and honest.
Yes.
And when it talks about Jackie, where she says, I am a prostitute. You know, a prostitute, we have in our mind what that means, girls selling themselves. But what about prostituting God's word in us? Mm. What about prostituting our time that he has called us to give to him? That's what that means. Think about what the word prostitute means. Look it up. And see if God doesn't convict each one of us for being a prostitute. Mm-hmm. Because we're selling ourselves short of what we can be in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. A woman of diligence, a woman of holiness. If we are not holy, we're all prostitutes. And I say it too. I am at times because I get caught up in other things. Think about it. I mean, this is not a game that we're playing. We have heard anointed teaching. It is time for us to say, that is me, Lord. If the revival does not start right here, you can forget going out and telling anybody about the good news. Because they're going to see your life and they're going to say, well, what a great Christian that is. And that's what the world does. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to take over.
I thank you for that. That's good information. Okay, do you mind reading? If you don't, I will. Starting with Tyler.
Yeah, we're saying it on behalf of a cry that is real on someone else, and that doesn't represent you.
Yes.
But there is someone crying saying, I'm a pastor who's addicted to porn.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I'm addicted to drugs, sex, and alcohol. I am ISIS, Boko Haram, Al-Qaeda, and Al-Shabaab.
My child is abused day and night.
I'm homosexual.
I'm a Satanist.
I'm a prostitute.
I'm an atheist.
Okay. Now, I put it like that. Really, what I was going to do is have to, I was really going to take these on the bats, and there was a reason I was going to do that. Because the church has turned their backs to all of these people. If we would be the church as God has asked us to be, then we wouldn't judge these people. We would know that they need love. Yes. We look at some people who are addicted. You know, sometimes there's so much condemnation from Christians about homosexuals. Sometimes we look at women on the street. You know, oh goodness, you know, we don't want to pick them up to come to church. It's like we see all types of attitudes coming from the church. But this is what our world looks like. And these are the people God is saying to witness to. Now, the only reason not the only reason. Boko Haram, ISIS, and all of that, you know, this is just really what our world is looking like. When we see, you know, how ISIS is spreading and all of these militant groups are all over. I even did research to see they are really all over. They're everywhere. And it's scary when you see where they are, what they're doing. And actually, God showed it to me years ago how they were already planted. And so this is what our world looks like. This is why we need God. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers. This is not flesh and blood. What do you think has that pastor addicted and people addicted to drugs, sex, and alcohol? What do you think is behind ISIS? Why do you think that child is getting abused there? There's a spirit behind this that needs to be dealt with. We need prayer-fueled evangelism. Because we don't have the strength to do it on our own. Flesh can't fight a spiritual warfare. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, the Bible says, but it's mighty through God to pull down every stronghold. And prayer is one of those weapons. So this brings it real to us. I want to read something, and then I'm going to be done. I did a little bit of research, and it's actually CNN in April did an article, and this is what it said. It was a lot more, but I just kind of put this way. I didn't want to go into too much stuff. It says, Islam is growing. And it talked about how Islam is going to be so, it's like Christianity and Islam is after a while going to be neck and neck. It says, studies tell us that Islam is the fastest growing religion, not only in America, but in the world. It said that Islam, now at their 1.6 billion, by the year 2050, they will be at 2.76 billion. And it went into other religions. And it talked about decline, Christianity declining in it. Talked about, I'm just putting all this out there. I know sometimes we have to be careful with statistics. Because you don't know the people that they, you know, ran it on. You don't know how, you know, all of that. But this just gives us an idea of what our world looks like, how we should prepare. I believe we need to pray, Lord, what would you have me to do? How should I pray? Who do you want me to witness to? Who do you want me to share my own story? Just that's prayer-fueled evangelism. And you all can just have a seat, and I will close it out. Thank you so much. You're not these things. You're not these things.
Praise the Lord. In closing, for everyone, I don't want you to take this if you're not going to be serious about, and it's okay if you're not. It's fine. I just printed out some basic scriptures on witnessing, and you can have one if you like. It actually goes into the four spiritual laws. I'm sure if you've been in church, you've heard all about it, the Roman road. And you can study this and ask God for, you know, help and practice. Memorize the scriptures if you want, or make it smaller, put it in your Bible, and go talk to somebody. But if you want one of these, you're more than welcome to have it. And then at the front of it, it actually gives you scriptures to build your own confidence. And it talks about the power of the word, what the word means to us, how it's inspired, how it's the truth of God, how it makes people free. It just gives good information to help you as the person who is witnessing. So, praise God. Okay, yeah, let me do that.
So, you want to go back into worship prayer?
Okay.
Is that what you want to do?
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine. Okay. As she's passing those out, just to help
Does
the flow.
Does anybody want one?
What we're going to do is, I really encourage you to stay. We have nice cold ice cream after this, but that's not the most important thing, right? First off, we apologize. We apologize for the heat. Tomorrow, the air will be fixed, so don't, like, hate it, because that's not why it's called burnout. What we're going to do is we're going to go into a time of worship and prayer for people who we saw up here representing. You know, we need to pray for these people. We need to pray for strategy, for a burden, for compassion. We're going to go into prayer and worship, so we're going to encourage you to position yourself however you want to. And then we actually have some more practicals on. We're going to have an evangelism night, etc., and an evangelism community. Not that that would be the only time we evangelize, but to help boost us, right? So we're going to go into a time of prayer and worship and then fellowship afterwards. Thank you so much, Yolanda. Did y'all feel encouraged and equipped and see the need for prayer-fueled evangelism?
Amen. 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 So, Yolanda, will you actually start opening us up in prayer as we go back into worship? And we can hit the lights if you want, unless y'all want the fans, whatever. Lights are good off. You can change it if you want. We're in a time of prayer and worship, and we're going to fellowship afterwards. Now let's just take a moment to allow the Lord, one, to mark our hearts with what we just heard, and then ask the Lord for us to be given strategy and empowered to walk in this reality.
Do you want to open
a
prayer?
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, God is very good to us. We are blessed to know the Lord.
Yes.
Would you agree?
Amen.
We are blessed to have that water springing up in us.
Yes.
We are blessed to have a spirit to lead and guide us. We are blessed to be able to tell people about the love of God. It's a blessing to share his love. We don't have to be intimidated. We don't have to feel ill-equipped. The Holy Ghost gave the people, the church, the power. The Spirit of God, they were empowered with the Spirit of God to go. And we have that same power within us. Father, in the name of Jesus, we give you glory. We give you praise. We adore you. We thank you, Father, for the gift that you have given us through your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for your love that you have shown through to humanity, O Lord. We thank you for your word declares that you came not into the world to condemn the world, but you came that the world might be saved. You don't want people to be condemned, oh Lord. You don't want them to feel bad because your word declares that we all were born into sin. We all need a Savior. Even after coming to you by faith initially, we continue to need you as our Savior to lead us, to guide us.